Hello, everybody. It's Lex and Stacy, and it is Threesome Podcast 41.
Ooh, it's so exciting.
Yeah, we're like a real thing now. This isn't like, hey, it's our second podcast. No, we're the real deal.
I know we've got like a catalog to back up what we're doing.
Yeah, you and I talked about finding some best of moments and stuff like that. Not to replay in a podcast, but to use for promotional purposes and stuff like that. And I was like, wow, that's like 37 hours of...
I know. Well, when you stop and think about it, it becomes daunting.
Yeah. But it's something we probably got to split up and do, you know?
Well, do you think it would be out of line to maybe ask anyone listening to contact us? You know, if you have a favorite moment, something you thought was really funny, or I guess I hate to use the word edgy because that just sounds so schmaltzy, but I don't know, something that we talked about that you thought was really good.
Yeah, you don't have to categorize it, just if you can think of the moment. And even more important, which podcast that was.
And if you wanted to get really detailed around what minute in the podcast it was.
Yeah, if you want to be like Mr. Skin, it's like, yeah, she took her top off at the 117.31 mark. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yes. But if you have a favorite moment, you can let us know on Facebook, Twitter, through our website, threesomepodcast.com. You can contact us there, too.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because it's coming from you. So, if you know, we hear from several of you that like the same thing. That makes things easier for somebody who's never heard the podcast that we're going to try and draw them into this whole thing.
We're trying to do is, you know, people who don't know about us. It's strictly promotional.
And, you don't know this now because it's a podcast and it just happened yesterday, but we have upgraded our logo, and Stacy and I love it.
Yeah, I do.
I think we have the mission statement down.
Well, leading up to that, before we even started this and we were toying around with names, we were thinking about calling this just The Darkness.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad we didn't, because there is one out there called The Darkness.
Yeah, but so, we're better. Yeah. It would have been Darkness for them, because they would have had to change the name, because we probably have a lot more people listening. So, screw you, Darkness.
We're your darker Darkness.
I've said that so many times in my life. But the slogan is... And I want to make sure I get this perfect, so help me here.
Oh,
I don't have it in front of me.
I could only have so many tabs open on my browser before we start cutting out, because the hamster is... go to it.
I worded it eloquently in print, which means I'll never be able to remember it.
Do you want me to say it? I don't want to steal your thunder.
No, you say it, because I said it with you in mind.
Never has darkness been so enlightening.
There it is.
The Threesome Podcast.
And now you just found out what has always been true. Stacy is the detail person on this podcast.
I'm just a quicker typer.
Oh, you're pretty much quicker at everything. I really don't know.
Well, thank you.
I really don't know what my contribution is to this.
Well, you have awesome Eric Estrada stories.
Yeah.
And you edit most of the time. and upload.
Yeah.
You're the uploader with a capital U.
Yeah. I'll take it.
And you do stuff on Facebook, too.
Yeah. I mean, I really want people to listen to this, because I think we got a good body of work going here. So, which, you know, we'll tell you, we'll both be very honest with you. We didn't know in the beginning. We had an idea. We didn't know it was going to turn out this good.
I know.
Because Stacy and I have great chemistry when we talk to each other. because up till the podcast, we did it for 2 hour intervals every 6 months.
On the phone, just catching up and bitching a lot.
A lot of bitching, a lot of good comedic stories that I couldn't tell anybody else because they're not dark enough to take it in like they're supposed to. Stacy's the only person I ever wrote things down on my phone to talk to her about, because she's the only one that gives a fuck
about you, huh?
Yeah, about the thing I wanted to talk about.
Yes.
Anybody else would be like, I have to pick my kid up at school. It's like, don't you realize what I'm fucking telling you here? This is genius. This is like, you have no soul.
My favorite, and we can't mention it, we can't talk about it, was back in the fall when a certain event took place.
Oh.
And you called me.
Yeah.
And told me what you had done. And then we just did nothing but laugh for about 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because Lex did possibly one of the more devious things I've ever heard of a human being doing. And it was amazing.
It was pretty good.
It was beyond pretty good.
I don't know.
It gave me chills.
I don't know if this makes me a bad person, but then we're going to have to talk to you when this is over to find out which devious thing that was.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not. I can't get too detailed now.
No. Please don't.
No.
Don't make me use those editing capabilities.
You save those for special times.
Yeah. Well, the one time I really went off the rails, we just deleted the whole thing. It was just, yeah, we can't.
I know, and that's too bad.
Well, it's not deleted.
That was pretty.
It's not deleted. It's just never going to be aired.
It might.
No, it's just going to be you and I meeting in some bad airport somewhere and listening to it while we get shit-faced.
And going, wow, Lex, you were pissed.
Oh, my God. I really was.
Yes. Yes, you were.
And usually, and I think you'd vouch for me here, I'm pretty good under pressure. Usually. Yes. I don't.
You're very good. Probably the best person I know at letting stuff just roll off your back.
Yeah.
I envy that ability.
Yeah, because you have to. But when there's something I just can't, I make it special.
He cranks it up to 11.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the guy that gets the rocket launcher for the fly on the wall.
And that's what that episode was.
Uh-huh.
The infamous lost episode.
Oh, man. There's a reason why therapy is behind closed doors and everything is not releasable, because that's somebody's opportunity to throw down on their real thoughts.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of good laws in place where therapists and psychologists, and psychiatrists don't have to divulge their meetings with their patients for everybody's protection. That was one of those days.
Yeah.
Yeah, the patient doctor privilege was invoked by the patient.
It was pretty spectacular. The world is losing out by not getting to hear it, but I understand.
Yeah, if anything ever happens to our relationship, meaning mine and Lisa's, which, knock on wood, doesn't look like it's going to happen. Things are wonderful.
Good.
But lots of people have said that, and a year later, it's like, yeah, I'm divorced. What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the phone call we got on Lex and Terry this morning. Yeah, we had an argument while I was on the way to work last night, and we ended up breaking up because I'm just tired of her being with other men. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, it's probably a good time to break up.
It depends, though. You know, if that was how the relationship began and he went into it knowing that that's how it was.
Yeah, he was 21 for starters.
Ah.
Here, I'll just make this easy for you. He's 21. She's 20. The argument happened when she was hanging out somewhere and he heard a guy in the background. He asked who it was. She told him. He asked again, you know, who is he? You know, anyway, he found out he's 9 years older than she is. And we all just kind of looked at each other in the room and went, you're so fucked. Oh, he also plays World of Warcraft.
The boyfriend?
Yeah.
Or the 29-year-old?
No, the boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Then he's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just looked at that whole thing and thought to myself, it can end so fast. Just like that. Where all these little things, you know, in the past get brought up, and then the other person brings up stuff, and before you know it, it's over. There's all these things that make your relationship broken, and then it finally gets talked about, and somebody says, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
And then somebody like me says, what, fuck other guys? Sure you can. And then it just gets worse from there.
That's the thing that sucks. I mean, obviously, most people, when you enter a relationship, have at least an idea that, you know, this could be potentially something that's going to last a while. I mean, you know, not a lot of people go into a relationship thinking this is going to last 3 dates and I'm done. So the longer a relationship goes, you have so much shit to accumulate. You know, there's the things that piss you off, and women are very good at cataloging each and everything to wait for that moment to bring it back out again, you know. And it's just like almost like the longer you go in a relationship, the more damned you are, because there's just a lot of stuff to hold against the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's I live with a country girl. But she's wicked smart. But she's very plain in her approach. She says something the Harvard law student would. It just sounds simpler, more direct, more understandable. You know, she doesn't try to put on airs to try to be smart or anything. I really just enjoy the simplicity of the whole thing. Like,
right.
Like people talk to her about our age difference. And she's like, do you really think I didn't walk this all the way through from the beginning? As to if it became something and went somewhere, what the issues would be. And, you know, the fact that even if we go all the way through, let's just say he dies in the national average of 78, and I'm still, you know, in my low 60s, that I'll have to probably manifest a life with somebody else or even, you know, be on my own. Yes.
Right.
She laid one guy out that was a friend of hers that was, you know, he had romantic designs for her his whole life, and she just didn't want anything to do with it. So he chose a night where they were just hanging out because they're quote-unquote friends, you know, even though he's constantly trying to get down her pants, and she really thinks they're friends. And I just think the guy's an epic douche. And she just finally said to him, can you be any more insulting to me? Like, I don't have a fucking brain in my head to realize what I'm involved in here. Can you just shut the fuck up? You know?
Good.
And has pretty much had the same talk, you know, with her mom and with, you know, her sister, anybody else that wants to rain on her parade. So, I commend her for that. That's kind of the stuff I love about her. Is
that she will defend your age.
No, it's not even that.
I know.
It's not even that. Obviously she has to a degree. But, you know, and believe me, I have to defend hers too. She's going to leave you, dude. You know, because she's so much younger, she's going to, it's like, yeah, she may. So, next.
The person your same age may leave too.
Yes. And that's what I usually tell people. You know, being the way you are, I'd leave you.
Because you're charming.
Yeah, because you're so fun to be around. We've been at lunch for 90 minutes. You've yet to say anything of any substance.
Don't you hate that?
But you can save it by saying, I'll pick up the check.
Yes. That is one of my, I'm a simple creature and I enjoy good conversation.
Yeah.
Like probably at the very top of my list of favorite things in my life. If I could find someone who is interesting and just clicks conversationally with me, I can spend hours with them just talking. And when I leave, and it could be a male, female, you know, it's not like a romantic thing at all. I could just feel energized and inspired and happy, even if it was just like, well, you and I talking, you know, darkness and bitching and everything, but it was fun. It got the juices going creatively, like mentally, not sexually. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just find, according to the day, some people almost just indigestible to deal with. Don't ask me how I became that way, because I used to be able to tolerate anything anywhere with anybody, but it's getting to the point where I don't have room for it anymore.
It's your age.
Probably. It's either my age or what I've just been through. It's one of the two.
And I think as you get older, you just start realizing, I don't have time for this. I don't want to deal with this. I don't have to deal with this.
Yeah, you just become more, because I guess you don't have a lot of shelf life left, you're not concerned about burning a bridge, you know, because you have 60 more years to live.
Right.
I think it really just comes down to that. So, you know, if we're going with 78, I got 21 years.
Wow.
So, every year that goes by, all of you can just realize I give less of a fuck than I did 5 minutes earlier. And I was really never good at that to start with, so you may have a nuclear situation on your nuclear don't give a fuck guy.
Or so David, you started Letterman with that bar pretty low. You know, he's gotten grumpy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I love the man.
Did you watch the tribute yet?
No.
One thing. The tribute was only 30 minutes longer than his regular show is. And I swear to God, I turned that off. Okay. Oh, it's frozen. That's why. Okay. All right. So I watched it and I'm like, I'm not really enjoying the tumultuous ass kissing of Ray Romano, who David put in the spot to be a multi-multi-multi-millionaire with Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right.
But to his credit, he got a development deal out of Dave and wrote one of the best sitcoms of all time for 10 years. Which is still in syndication, which is still just printing checks. Ray Romano's good the rest of his life.
Yes.
And I miss that show. It was awesome.
I believe I have never seen an entire episode.
The writing on that show is genius. And what's his face? He's no longer with us. I can't remember
his
name.
Boyle.
Peter Boyle.
Putting on the Ritz.
One of the greatest comedic moments in history.
Young Frankenstein. But he,
it's
just the writing in that, and of course, it coincided with the upbringing of Samantha. So the situations with the wife, the kids, the in-laws, the whole thing was pretty much in my face. And just absolutely brilliant. But, you know, he did it. He wrote it. He conceptualized it. Dave just gave him the opportunity. And he's very grateful for that. But there are some really great moments on there. The 5 minutes they did about his tribute to Johnny Carson was really good. He goes, I've now come to realize I am Johnny Carson. I'm that guy now. I'm walking into the sunset, and he goes,
I'll be dead in 5 years.
He goes, I can't do it without, yes, I can't do it without thanking Johnny. You know, with, and they just showed some great moments from it. I had like a tear in my eye. You know, it was good stuff.
At any moment, was there any like inkling, like, boy, Robin Williams should have been here?
Well, yeah, they showed a couple.
Did they? I mean, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, they showed a couple moments with him.
Aww.
As any late night talk show does, because when he's on, he's great.
Yes.
And they had like a 5 minute section with Jack Hanna and all the animals, which was tremendous.
Always so awkward. That's what it is. I love animals, but I don't care about them. I just like seeing how awkward he makes it.
And he has they showed a couple of things. Dave goes, "Is that a lemur?" And finally, like on the third one, he goes, Jack Hanna goes, "Why do you always think I have a lemur? There's no lemurs." And he's like noticeably agitated, like for real. He goes, "You always think I have a lemur."
There's always like roiling tension, like you're just waiting for Dave to come across the desk or something at him. It's like, oh, so awkward and tense.
Yeah, because he was on the show 95 times.
Wow.
They even asked Paul Shaver, he goes, you know, how many times was Jack Hanna on there? And Paul Shaver's like, 20, 25, I don't know. You know, it's like 95 times. He goes, wow. So it was, 95 times. That's a lot.
That is.
So, you know, they had a great relationship. You know, Dave loved it because it writes itself with the animals. I mean, you got like giant hawks flying around in Radio City Music Hall and, you know, people like with their heads, hands over their heads. This is awesome. And, you know, it's like he had George Bush on there, and he was asking about, he goes, what's the first thing you did when you got in the Oval Office? He goes, I cleaned it.
Nice.
Like, you know, he had some good ones every now and again. I got to give it to him. So, I know you're not a fan, but
sadly, he wasn't actually that wasn't a veiled cum reference. That was, you know, it was dusty.
Yeah.
I had to clean it.
Yeah, it really was dirty. Yeah.
The windows were spotty. You know.
Yeah, I know. Believe me, I thought of that.
And someone just pats him on the head and says, that's nice.
Yeah. It would have been funnier coming from Dick Cheney. I had a SEAL team come in and scrub it for bugs, for germs, and real bugs.
So, it was irradiated.
So I went into my doctor's office, and the girl behind the counter. I'm in Salina, Texas. So the girl behind the counter is obviously Republican. if you want somewhere to go right in and out of a an election, that's where you live.
Gotcha.
And just file Democrat, and believe me, you'll be there 2 minutes as you walk by 750 people who are in line to vote across the way.
Right.
While they give you dirty stares. But she had this like meme with Hillary Clinton's picture on a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And she goes, makes me laugh every time. And I went, I don't get it. She goes, what? I don't get it. It's just Hillary Clinton on a bucket of chicken. What's the joke? Oh, I don't know. It's just funny. She's on there. Okay.
Now spell Hillary for me.
Yeah. Spell chicken.
Bucket.
It just kind of saddened me because she obviously was told by her husband to hate Hillary. She had no political knowledge or could give a shit. And it's like,
well,
I'm okay with you hating Hillary or any other liberal for that matter. I just want you to be able to tell me why.
Yes.
You do that, you'll have no argument from me. I'll just go, all right, dude, let's get a beer. Let's do this. Yeah, it's fine.
I had a conversation with someone once. It was right like at the election when Obama was being elected the first time. And he was very Christian, very much believes the earth is 6,000 years old, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's one of the older ones.
He was complaining because Obama had, I don't know, did he do coke? I don't even remember. I don't even care.
No.
Smoked pot or something, you know, whatever he did in college. And this was one of his big reasons to be against Obama. And I said, you know, then you must have had a huge issue with Bush's cocaine use. He never did that. And I'm like, you know, you are working in a building with the internet every day. Why don't you go look that up? You know, if you're going to be a hypocrite, please, you know, look this stuff up. Especially if that's what you're holding against one person, you better hold it against everyone across the board. If drug use is a big bad no-no for you, you better make sure that your Republican candidate has not done it either.
Well, it's like, I just said, people paint me as a liberal. I said, but really, the way I have voted the last 25 years is for the person, not the party. There was a guy up for election last time on the Republican side of things that I thought was an amazing candidate for president, John Huntsman. And she's looking at me with swirly eyes. And I went, do you know who he is? And she goes, I have no idea. He ran for president? I went, no, he tried to run to be the nominee for president, but he didn't have enough support. And I said, it's kind of the first time I realized that what power the TV networks have.
Yes.
Because I hearken back to those debates and realized outside of Herman Cain, Rick Perry, and Mitt Romney, no TV time was really given to the other five candidates there were at the time.
Right.
And the manipulator of the debate was, I believe at the time, a CNN person who obviously was not doing it for his political motives to have those three, but he was doing it because they were the ratings getting individuals.
Right.
And, you know, the light bulb just went off. I was just like, oh my God, they are redirecting questions to these three people and these three people only. And basically everybody else got like to say one thing through a 2-hour debate.
The debates are useless. I don't know when the last time was that I gleaned anything useful out of a debate where I went, oh, that was something new. And now I understand, you know, his motivation for feeling this way or wanting to run this way, whatever, you know, everything is so carefully. None of these people are real. It's like every word that comes out of their mouth has been carefully researched, right down to that stupid thumb pointing. I make a fist, but my thumb is up because it's less, you know, aggressive than actually pointing at people. You know, everything they do, down to their tie, to their socks, is completely researched. And you have researched the humanity out of these people, both sides.
Or like in the movie Game Change, which was about the campaign of John McCain leading up to the first Obama presidency. and they're obviously desperately trying to whip what's-her-face into shape, Sarah Palin.
Yes.
And there's a scene in the movie where they're preparing her for the Joe Biden debate, and she kept calling him O'Biden. She goes, so Senator O'Biden. And they're like going, no, it's Biden. So Steve Schmidt, you know, who was played by Woody Harrelson, and it was a good casting because I used to watch him on... Yeah, you know, Steve Schmidt used to make the rounds on MSNBC and Fox News, but he's basically a Republican strategist and a well-respected one. He just finally said, why don't you just call him Joe?
He goes, one syllable, you can't fuck that up.
He goes, when you go out there, ask him if you can call him Joe. Which would have been awesome. If Joe Biden went, no, I want the respect I fucking deserve. I'm a senator, you bitch, you know. But, you know, Joe just smiles. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Diamond Joe Biden.
Yeah. First name, last name. I'm about to shove 40 years of experience up your ass anyway, so. But because of that, she did okay in that debate. You know, she didn't have any slip-ups like that, and... You know, you start to realize that whole movie was about just keeping her from stepping in it, as opposed to what kind of person do we really have here?
Even if she had been a liberal, that woman would have made my asshole pucker so hard and tight. It is insulting to women, no matter what side you're on, that woman was given that opportunity. There are so many women in politics that could have done something with that position, with that opportunity, that could have enhanced. Because you know what? Honestly, John McCain was someone, as a Republican, and I'm not, you know, I gave him consideration.
Oh, I
like John McCain.
I have great respect for him. He displays flexibility in important issues and
yes.
and has the ability from time to time to put party lines aside and say, no, this is wrong. We're not doing this. And
exactly. My biggest issue with him was his age. And then when they first trotted her out.
And the fact that that fucking idiot would have been president had something happened to him.
Exactly. That she became the hard limit. But for me, looking at him, it was his age. But I remember the day they announced her as his running mate, and I had no idea. Like, most of the country had no idea who she was.
Oh, I knew who she was. I'd just seen a documentary on her about Senator Stevens and the bridge and her putting a stop to that and, saying no to all the... She had this... She had this plan as a governor. I don't know who gave it to her, but I now deeply know somebody did. She had
yes.
some. She had an amazingly great advisor in Alaska. She actually did some good things, and but also some, as we found out later, some kind of crooked things, abuse of power and stuff like that.
That and just a white trash family. I'm sorry. That woman is, if she came from somewhere farther south, she'd been crawling out of the swamp.
But by the time she did the Charles Gibson interview, which was her first interview they had to prep her for, I was in disbelief. Mostly about her ego. Her ego is out of control. I mean, like, in a very sick way. Because had that woman just said, after he presented that whole Russia, Ukraine, Georgia thing that was going on during the election at that time, I would have been totally okay with her going, up until 9 days ago, my job was to run the state of Alaska. I am a smart person. I will get briefed and get up on foreign affairs and formulate my own opinions and surround myself with, people that do this for a living and make conscious decisions if need be. I would have been totally cool with, I really don't know the particulars of that situation to the degree that I can answer you responsibly.
Yes, because, that would be an honest answer from any politician. God forbid a politician say, I just don't know.
She would have been a really dangerous candidate at that point if she would have responded in those two interviews that way. But thank God, and I know, and I'm sorry, I know there's Republicans that don't say it out loud, but in their minds are like, I'm glad she was never had the opportunity to be president. That would have been bad. And I just couldn't believe the shit she was saying. It's like, oh, yeah, the planes are flying around. We got our eye on those Russians. Like she's standing on the fucking shoreline with some binoculars going, we may have to go out there in our rowboats and get them, boys. It was just insulting.
It was insulting because she was picked because no one knew her name except for you because you'd seen a documentary and because she was hot. That's what it was. They picked a hot chick and they chose hot over any of the other fucking women politicians in the Republican Party who can put sentences together and use big words and reads.
What you don't understand is, though, that even Steve Schmidt and Nicole, her last name escapes me, even they did not have any more of the data. There was no bad data on her up until that point.
Because except she's from Alaska.
Except for a few stupid little things. But she, I viewed her, honestly, as a very dangerous selection as far as, making him win. And then when I saw those two interviews, I before I even saw the movie Game Change, I was like, oh, God, they must be shitting themselves.
I remember the day she was announced, and again, I didn't know who she was because, you know, this was the, this whole election, that first, you know, Obama election, because he was, you know, the black guy. And so it was going to be a historic election. So, you know, it was energizing people because they were going to come vote so they could say they voted in this historic election. And it had never crossed my mind that, you know, when, so when they announced her, I remember I just sat back and went, the Republicans just upped this because now Republicans can vote for McCain because if McCain wins, it's still a historic election because she'll be the first female vice president.
No, and that's,
and that, it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a brilliant move, but they remember they had like zero time to vet her. They had five or six other candidates vetted out, like Joe Lieberman and people like that. They knew everything they needed to know, but when they realized that the numbers were getting out of control and they needed a game changer, she was really their only choice.
And you could tell. I mean, I know, you know, it's obvious she wasn't vetted. I mean, all you have to do, I think any human being, is spend 10 minutes alone with the woman, and you're going to walk away going, she's fucking nuts, and she's dumb as a box of rocks.
Well if you see the way they set it up in the movie, you know, they just kept seeing things like, we can fix it, we can fix it, we can fix it. the one thing they couldn't fix, and they didn't see it till later, is her total lack of cooperation to get prepared for interviews and debates and things like that. I forget Nicole's last name, but she's the best in the business at candidate prep and leading somebody through a candidacy. I mean, they had their top-notch people, Steve Schmidt, her, and they just had scene after scene in the movie. You really must see this movie if it's on Netflix or something.
Okay.
They just had scene after scene after scene of them saying important things like, you got to know this. And she's like on the phone with her kids and texting her son and, you know, doing a total disconnect because in her mind, it's like, I'm going to do this the way I want to, bitch.
Yes, you selected me. I must be something. You know, it was that inflated ego. Yes. You chose me. You chose me for a reason, and I'm going to show you why you chose me.
She realized right away that they couldn't turn back and used it against them. And in the end, they were praying Obama won. They were. Yeah, they're in. You know, I don't know if it happened in real life, but in the movie, you know, Woody Harrelson's character, like, you know, I'm having bad thoughts here. I kind of hope this guy wins so our country doesn't go to hell in case John doesn't live. You know, she actually wanted to give a fucking consolation speech. You know, when the election was lost, and, you know, he finally, after having enough of her over the, you know, last 7 or 8 months of that campaign, went in and said, you are not fucking going out there. Nobody wants to fucking hear from you. You weren't the presidential candidate he was. You're not going out there. Stay in the fucking room. I mean, he just went off on her. And
you know, Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you had my biggest thing. I mean, I have so many things that I hold against her and hate her for. But the very top is what she did to her daughter. And Bristol is a big piece of shit. That is a terrible kid. What a bitch. But being pregnant as a teenager and having your mother parade you all over TV and the world, I will always hold that against that woman for doing that to her own child. She put her career aspirations before her own child, and that is an unforgivable offense. And that is the biggest reason, with so many underneath that, why I hate that woman.
Well, we could elaborate on this all day long, but we do have to wrap things up. And
yes.
But just a really crazy time in political history. It's unsurpassed, really. And I don't even know how we got on this, but good stuff, Stacey. We hope you enjoyed number 41. It's in the books. We'll see you next time for podcast number 42. And this is Lex and Stacey saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.